the senior sales tax exemption. And this is a question that will be on the ballot in the October municipal election. So during this next hour, we will be trying to sort through that issue, what it would mean if there is a change, why do some people think it should change, and why others want it to stay the same. I'm Angela Denning. I'm a news reporter here at KFSK, and I'll be hosting the show today. I have three guests joining me in the studio, two seniors on either side of the issue, and a borough employee who's here to help us figure out the numbers behind the issue. We'll be getting opening statements in just a minute, but first, I want to ask the guests here to introduce yourself into the microphone to make sure that everybody can be heard. Sorry about that. So, starting with you, I'll turn on the mics here.
Good afternoon. I'm Jody Tao. I'm the finance director for the Petersburg Borough.
And I'm Susan Flint, and I'm in favor of this proposition.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm Ted Smith, and I'm kind of against this proposition.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much for being here today. We'll spend this next hour trying to figure out all the details about it. First, I want to read the actual ballot question for Proposition 1. So this is the language that voters will be seeing on their ballots. Proposition 1, repealing the senior citizen sales tax exemption and providing for an annual sales tax rebate to qualified senior citizens. Shall the Petersburg Borough Code Chapter 428, entitled Sales Tax, be amended to eliminate the senior citizen sales tax exemption and provide for an annual sales tax rebate to certified qualified senior citizens as prescribed in Ordinance 2018-16? Yes or no? A yes vote means the current senior citizen sales tax exemption provision will no longer be in existence, and an annual sales tax rebate program for certain low to moderate income seniors will be implemented January 1st, 2019. A no vote means the current senior citizen sales tax exemption provision will continue. So that's the actual language that's on the ballot. The election is October 2nd, and polls will be open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., but there's actually absentee voting and early voting happening right now. So people probably are already voting on this issue. And just a clarification, when we're talking about seniors on this show, we're talking about residents 65 and older. So right now I want to just go through and hear a little bit about why you're here today, why you feel this issue is important to you. So Sue Flint, I want to start with you because you are one of the seniors that's actually bringing this issue forward. You support the proposition and you'd like to see the senior sales tax exemption change to a needs-based rebate program. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. First of all, a little bit about me. I was born and raised here in Petersburg, graduated PHS in 69, moved back in 1980 with my husband, and started Rockies Marine. I was a registered nurse for 25 years and served on the hospital board 10 years. And I served on the city council and the first borough assembly and was vice mayor under Mark Jensen. I retired from Rockies Marine last year at age 66. My grandparents were pioneers, one coming in 1913 and starting the shrimp business in Alaska, and another from Norway in 1924. So my roots are deep in this community, and I want to keep it the vibrant town that it is. It occurred to me last year that many families, like mine, now have two generations who qualify for the senior tax exemption. That leaves the young families of Petersburg carrying the load for both sales tax and property tax that make up 63% of our general fund revenues. That doesn't seem fair, so when I heard about Sitka's tax policy, I thought maybe that would be a simple and respectful solution to our problem. For years, we've known that the exemption has to end, but no one could figure out a way to do it and still help those with low incomes who depend on that exemption for help. And I think this proposition does just that.
Okay, thank you for that comment. And Ted Smith, you're here as a senior who does not support the change and support the proposition.
Yeah. Well, a little bit about myself. Everybody knows me. I moved here in 1949, graduated from high school here. Went to college for a couple of years, was in the military for 10 years, came back to Petersburg, and have been here ever since. I think that the senior citizens is the most vulnerable group of citizens that are here, and there are numerous ones that, even with a small rebate that they're talking about, won't be able to live comfortably. Let's put it that way. The rebate program, it looks like, is going to be another add-on to the bureaucracy that we already have. Jody, who is great, a real good treasurer, I'm proud of her. She's local, but I think that she's going to be overloaded with work, and we'll have to hire some more people, which will negate the advantage of collecting sales tax from a group of senior citizens.
Okay, and then also, Jody Tao, you're kind of a neutral party here as the borough's finance director. You're here to give us some numbers and perspective on local taxes. And also, you'll be able to walk us through what kind of Ted was talking about, which is the proposed tax rebate and what that would actually look like if it was implemented, because that would be going through your office, right?
Sure. Yeah. So if this proposition was to be approved, we'd no longer issue senior sales tax cards. Businesses would not have to account for that exemption any longer. What would happen is between January 1st and March 31st of each year, the applicants that meet the qualifications for the rebate would come into the borough and fill out an application, as well as proof of them meeting one of the four qualifications. And those qualifications are either the on food stamps, Medicaid, qualify for low-income housing programs, or the senior benefits program funded by the state of Alaska. And then between April 1st and June 30th, that's the processing period where we will verify that the applicant meets requirements for income eligibility and resident status, and that they and that we have all the information that we need. And then rebates will be sent out by check to applicants that qualify after July 1st. So the rebate amount is $300 annually for an eligible applicant. And if the eligible applicant is married to another eligible applicant, the combined rebate shall be $450.
Okay, I want to ask a little bit more about that, but I want to remind listeners that this is a call-in program. So until noon for the next hour, we can take your questions and comments about what we're talking about, the senior sales tax exemption. And you can join the conversation by calling in to 772-3808. So, Jody, about what Ted was saying, he was kind of alluding to he thinks that it would be hard on your office to handle a rebate program like that and maybe would require some extra staffing.
Yeah, no, I think it'll actually streamline the process a lot. We currently, have given out 500, what are we at this year? 574 senior cards this year. And the only way that we can really accurately track the senior cards and number that we have each year is to give new ones each year, because some people move or some people might pass away or decide not to use them. And so that's the only way. So each year we have to print out 500, over 573 cards. So that's a big project in itself. Someone comes in, fills out the form. We make sure that they are a resident. We do this by going to the PFD database and making sure they're eligible for the PFD. And if they are, that means, they've lived in Petersburg for a year. And then we get them the card.
So 574 senior cards?
Yes. It's actually, yesterday was 573, but we got one more today. So
okay. Can you give us an idea what that means in terms of money?
Sure. In terms of money, in fiscal year 2017, the total exempted sales for seniors was $6.4 million, which is about, if you times that by 6%, is about $385,000 equivalent that is lost to senior exemptions. However, we can't be definite on that number, because when a business fills out their sales tax return form, a senior may have purchased over $1,200 worth of goods, which would hit the sales tax cap, and then the most they would have to pay would be $72. So at the most, $385,000 in sales tax revenue was lost. So 573 senior cards, what that means, that's 18% of Petersburg's population is not paying sales tax. In 1980, when this was approved by the city council, it was 172 seniors, and the population was 3,001. It is now, the population is 3,147. And that was equivalent to 6% of the population. And it's interesting, I just read in Alaska Business Monthly that says the senior population in Alaska is to double by 2034, which means, we could be facing 36%. You know, all the baby boomers are turning 65, and it's going to happen for quite a few more years.
Yeah, I wanted to definitely get into the numbers and how the population is changing. I wasn't sure if we're going to jump into that yet, but when you said that is 18% of the population, that's right in line with the data that the state has, which is that 18% of the population is 65 and older in Petersburg. Mm-hmm. That's actually from 2017, and they are using – that's the State Department of Labor coming up with those projected figures, because the U.S. Census only goes to 2010. But if you look at the growth – projected numbers of seniors in the Petersburg Comprehensive Plan completed in 2016 by a firm that was contracted with the borough, that was an Agnewbeck independent firm. It was projecting that in the year 2032, that the growth would be 28% of the town's population would be 65 and older. And Agnewbeck, that firm, they used, again, state data. And I think that's a lot of PFD information that they're getting.
It's just snowballing. It's really snowballing now with the baby boomers coming through. In the last 4 years, the number of senior cards issued has grown by 24% in just 4 years. Mm-hmm. So,
They say that the senior population of Alaska is 10%, and in Petersburg it's 18%. It's interesting how it's much larger in Petersburg.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the history of the population in Petersburg, in the year 2000, seniors were 8% of the population. In 2010, when the U.S. Census, the last U.S. Census in 2010, it was 11.6%. And then we said last year, of course, it was projected at 18.2%, according to the state. What do you think about, Ted, when you hear that information with the how the population is changing in Petersburg?
Well, my first question is the senior citizen increasing that much, or are more of our young people leaving Petersburg because of the lack of employment?
Okay, that's a fair question. What do you think about that?
Oh, just the senior citizen population is increasing dramatically. You know, looking at in 1980, there's 172 cards, senior cards, and now there's 574. Our population in 1980 was 3,001 people, and our population in 2018 is 3,147. So it hasn't changed dramatically, even after creating a borough. I mean, this 2018 number is with borough residents as well.
But you're right, Ted. Probably we are losing either that or the birth rate's going down, because I know the school has struggled with lower numbers of students mm-hmm. in various classes for quite a few years mm-hmm. recently. Mm-hmm. So,
I know that going back to that comprehensive plan that the borough contracted that agency for in 2016, that said the number of young people in Petersburg declined 29% between the years 2000 and 2013. So maybe it is both mm-hmm. Young people declining, the population of younger people declining, and seniors increasing. Mm-hmm.
And Petersburg is an expensive place to live. Mm-hmm. You know, the cost of groceries are a lot more than what you'd see in the lower 48. And so, you know, that's something to consider, too, when we're looking at the sales tax proposition.
One thing I wanted to point out was how much of this general fund money for the sales tax and property tax goes directly to seniors. This year, we are paying $150,000 towards the running of Mountain View Manor Assisted Living, and also $11,400 for the Mountain View Manor Food Service for the $5 dinner for seniors for 3 nights a week. So,
okay.
There are benefits.
All right. Seniors. I want to get into more on what the sales tax is used for, and like you're saying, some of it you're saying is going to senior services. I think we do have a caller on the line, so we can take that caller right now. Hi, thanks for joining the show.
Hi, thank you. This is Marge Oinus.
Marge, I just want to ask you, do you have the radio on in the background? Because we're getting a little feedback.
I'll turn it off. Yes,
thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was wondering if anyone has ever considered that some seniors may move here because of the tax rebates, and just to come to Mountain View Manor, and have they considered some kind of a policy that would say that seniors have to live here at a certain amount of time before they get the tax rebate?
Right now, you have to live here a full year before you qualify for the senior sales tax exemption.
But as far as assisted living, I don't think that there is a requirement right now. I know that the Pioneer Homes have a requirement that you have to live in Alaska for at least a year before you can apply. But I don't believe we have that now. I'm not sure we can if we are being subsidized by HUD. But that's definitely a question for the Mountain View Manor director.
I see. I think it would be an interesting possibility to say 5 years to see if people are here intentionally to really stay, or if they're just, you know, passing through after a year or so. That's just an idea. Mm-hmm.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, I agree, Marge. That would be great, but if you remember when the permanent fund tried to do that, I think they wanted 30 years, but they got sued, and the state law said after 1 year, that's the rule. And I think if Petersburg, if somebody jumped in and said, hey, I'm a citizen after a year and sued us, they would win. So
right.
I think 1 year is probably the maximum that we can really depend on.
And that's because it's a state rule.
State rule, probably a national rule. I'm not sure about that, but at least the state.
It's our state constitution. Yeah. You can't have special classes of people. Everything has to be the same. That's what happened also to the senior benefit program. It was every Alaskan who'd been here a long time would get $250 a month, and that got challenged too on residency more than a year. And that has turned into just the senior benefits program for low income, and it's a real nice program for helping those low-income Alaskans getting up to $250 a month from the state. Anyone on that program automatically would get their refund check. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of seniors, especially if they know about this program, could come out money ahead. And right now, in 2017, Petersburg has 89 seniors already getting that benefit, probably more by this year. And so we're thinking, you know, we have almost 600 people with the tax exemption now. So at least 100 of them are probably on that program and would get the exemption. And there may be another 100 or so who would qualify for some of these programs and get the exemption, and that would still leave 400 more seniors who don't need help and don't need the exemption, who have good retirements and second homes and all of that, who can now contribute to their community.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your comment, Marge. So
can I make another just an observation?
Sure.
A couple months ago, I did a random questionnaire of people on Main Street in regards to this tax issue. And I talked, now, granted, this is small, but it's interesting. The people I talked to, the age range was probably 30 to 64 or something like that. One was nearing retirement, and she was opposed to the tax. She wanted to get rid of this tax rebate. One was out of 11 people. One was in favor of it if the rich people didn't get it, and the rest were all in favor of the tax exemption that we have now. So I thought that was just an interesting thing, and most of the ones that were in favor were the younger people. So,
they were all
either working here in Petersburg and living here. They were all living here, and I only knew one of them personally, but the rest I had facial recognition, but didn't know who they were. So I just thought that was interesting.
And why did you talk to them about that, about their why they support the sales tax exemption?
Yes, I did, briefly. And they said, most of them said they felt that a lot of the older people could not afford it, were living on a fixed income. And the other was that they had paid their dues and worked hard all their lives. And so that was an interesting comment.
Okay, is that kind of how you feel about it?
I feel that I like having the provision of no taxes because I am on a fixed income, and it isn't a lot. It's I can get by, but personally, I'm very happy to have it. And
Do you think that the rebate for low income or middle income seniors would be enough at $300 a year?
I haven't thought of the specifics enough. I haven't added up what I spend, you know, to see what percentage of that is. So practically speaking, I haven't figured that out. If the check goes to the person directly and they can do whatever they want with the money, that's a nice feature.
Would that be the case?
There's a lot of people who just don't want to have it changed. So,
well, thanks so much, Marge, for your comments. Yes. I think we have some other callers we want to get on, too. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Bye. And before we take the next call, Jody, were you saying that she was questioning whether would that rebate be a check?
Yes, it would be a check.
And could they spend it? There's no kind of oversight on how they spend it. It's
take
a check to them.
And cash it.
And they can use it how they want.
Exactly.
That was $300 for a single person, and then if it was a couple who qualified, it would be $450?
Yes.
Okay.
And those numbers came from a study Jody did on just what people are spending on sales tax a year, and it worked out to be about $28 per month per senior card, $336 average per year per senior card.
Well, and that was for essential services.
Yeah,
so
for groceries, fuel, gas, hardware, drugstore, divided by the number of cards.
And then just a reminder, utilities are already exempt for everybody in town. So.
And prescriptions are also.
Yeah, prescriptions are as
okay.
Well.
Let's take another caller. Thanks for joining the show.
Hi, good morning. Am I on?
You're on.
Oh, thank you. This is John Haverlick, and I wanted to speak in favor of this ballot measure to remove the senior sales tax. I've been in Petersburg about 25 years, in Alaska almost 50, and I was you know, we were talking, some of the other people mentioned, you know, how long they've been around and who, you know, they grew up with. And I was brought up by a single mom with five kids. And we would, the one thing she always emphasized to us is don't take handouts. And she never took any welfare, always worked every day, usually two jobs. And all of us, when we were about 12, ended up going to doing some sort of work to help support the family. And to me, the sales tax exemption is welfare. And I think enough of us seniors have need to show our pride and show that we want to support our community and all the people in it, and we should do our fair share. So I'm very much in favor of doing away with the exemption. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for your comment. And we will take another caller here real quick. Hi, thanks for joining the show.
Hi, this is Rexanne Stafford, and I am calling to speak against the removing the sales tax. For several reasons. I don't think that giving people a rebate of $300 when they're in the poverty level really is, I mean, that's like if you even spent $600 a month on groceries, that'd be $432 a year. So that's not even touching what you'd be spending on groceries and taxes. And to get the senior benefits, you can't make more than $11,000 a year. There's a lot of seniors that have their own homes, they have their trailers, they're getting by on Social Security, maybe no retirement, but they don't fall into this category. And those are the ones that's really going to hurt. I feel a lot of people have paid taxes for 50 years. A lot of us have paid taxes for 50 years. And we don't know in 10 years, we're on a fixed income. When I first retire, I've got probably a medium retirement. When I first retire, I'll probably be fine. But in 10 years, I'm not sure if I will be, by the way the groceries are going up. And once this is gone, it's going to be gone. And I just also feel like having to come in and ask the city for a rebate for people who are already having to be on assistance is, to me, would be a demeaning thing to have to do. To have to come in and ask for money back because I've already had to ask for money because I don't have any money. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are the things that I don't like about it. I would just as soon see it gone totally than have a measly $300 pittance given out for that won't even cover half of what you probably spend in groceries anyway. And then maybe they could get more money in assistance.
Okay, thanks so much for your comments, Rexanne.
Yeah, and so that's basically why I am. And I figure the people who have a lot of money, they can continue paying taxes. There's nothing stopping them from paying taxes. They can pay taxes. I know a lot of people that do choose to still pay taxes. And so they do have that opportunity to do that. So that's what my opinion is.
Okay, thanks, Roxanne,
okay, thank
so
you.
Much for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
One thought on that is that the Alaska Senior Benefits Program, there are three levels of checks. The $250 a month is the one Rexanne was talking about, but even if you are making $2,195 a month, you can still get a check from the state of $76 per senior every month. And it doesn't matter what your assets are. It's just if that's all the income you have every month, $2,195, you get that check, whether you own a mansion or a trailer or nothing at all. And even if you had a lot of money in the bank, it's not on assets. It's just on monthly income, and it's very simple process. Also, as far as having to go and ask for a refund check, right now you're going to have to go in and ask for a card and pay $100 starting in January for your senior exemption card if this does not pass. So either way, you'll be going to the borough.
Oh, that's a good point. So the program is actually changing. The senior sales tax exemption is changing anyway?
It is changing anyway. The assembly decided that they wanted to charge an administrative fee per card and have decided on the amount of $100 for a card. And if you make less than $20,000 a year, you can fill out an affidavit and have that fee waived.
And you were mentioning before you think it's going to streamline the process. It's harder the way it is now for your office to go through the cards.
This proposition, if it passes, it will definitely streamline things for our office for sure. The added fee for the administrative fee, it will be about the same as it is now. So,
okay. We got a caller who didn't come on the air but is asking this question. Do people on food stamps or SNAPs pay sales tax on that food?
No, they don't. That's exempt.
And they would also automatically qualify for the rebate check.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. There is a, we did receive an email from John Mergus, who is a Petersburg resident, and he made a couple comments here. I'll read the comment right now. I feel insulted when I hear complaints about the increasing number of seniors using the sales tax exemption. No matter how polite the wording of the complaint is, it's saying seniors are a burden to the community at the expense of those younger than 65. So he says, let's say we have a lottery and those seniors born on an odd number date of the month have to leave town and live elsewhere. That would cut the number of seniors using their sales tax exemption cards in half. Would that help the local economy? I don't think so. So basically he's saying he's insulted by the proposition. And his second point is, let's say the average annual sales tax exemption by seniors is $100,000. Let's say the exemption is repealed. Would that mean the borough would gain an additional $100,000 sales tax revenue? He says, no, most seniors do not have lucrative retirement pensions and live on fixed income such as Social Security. They have to closely watch their budget. Without the tax exemption, many seniors will have to cut back on their spending, buy less locally, and buy more from Amazon and eBay. He says, you may see resurrection of the Petersburg Co-op that was popular in the 1970s. The net gain to City Hall would be far less than $100,000, perhaps even zero. The borough might be a small winner dollar-wise, but at a high price to the seniors and the merchants. So he says, is it worth it? So basically, it sounds like John Mergus is insulted by the proposition, and also he doesn't think it would save the town much money because the seniors would buy less locally, they would buy more online, and so the merchants would suffer. So that those are his comments to add into the conversation. I wanted to ask a little bit about senior services here in town, just in general. And, you know, are seniors getting help or benefits in Petersburg besides this sales tax exemption?
Property tax is a state unfunded mandate that seniors get the first $150,000 on their value of their home forgiven. And on that subject, Petersburg ranks third in the state on percentage of money lost due to that senior property tax exemption. And there's nothing we can do about that. That's a state law, I guess. And Petersburg has 305 homes owned by seniors that get that $150,000 forgiven on their property tax.
And actually, Sue, that was last year's number. Oh. I just looked. This year's was 318 homeowners.
318, okay.
Which is equivalent with the mill rate of $446,000.
Okay, so you're saying Petersburg seniors get a break on property tax.
Yeah, no. And that wouldn't change
That's
with
state.
This. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They also get free vehicle registration, free hunting and fishing licenses, Medicare, assisted living facility owned and operated by the borough, 10% off groceries on Tuesdays at both grocery stores, 10% off alcohol at liquor stores, senior discount on the ferry system, parks and rec discounts, Mountain View food service meals, $5 three times a week, discounted Northern Lights movie tickets. And then like everybody else, there's no tax on prescription drugs, medical, dental, or veterinary services, your utilities, or your long-term rentals.
Okay, so. You mentioned assisted living, mm-hmm. and that's for seniors. Is that paid for through sales tax?
Every year, we have had to support Mountain View Manor Assisted Living to the tune of roughly averaging about $100,000. And that's in addition to the bond that we pay, which is how much, Jody?
$180,000 a year.
Yeah, and that comes out of general fund money.
That was for the construction of the facility, and those bonds will be paid off in 2024.
And we're so lucky to have assisted living. There are very few of them available in the state that are city owned, and but it costs a lot to staff it when they need so much help. So the borough has paid $100,000 average this year. It's actually $150,000 in this year's budget.
I was going to ask, do you know how much sales tax goes to subsidize assisted living in Petersburg every year?
Well, we can't really differentiate between the property tax and the sales tax and tobacco tax over all the revenues that go into the general fund and how they're exactly allocated. It's kind of, think of it sort of as a bucket. But some of it definitely is sales tax. I can't tell you exactly how much. And just on that note, when we're talking about revenues for the general fund, we get a lot of state funding, and that's decreased about $500,000 a year in the last few years. And so it's important that our sales tax numbers, our sales tax revenue goes up. And 2 years ago, it decreased 5%. In the last 2 years, it's remained flat. And you would think with increased expenses that the property tax or the sales tax revenue would go up, but it hasn't.
I want to get more into the your thoughts, Jody, as the finance director, on the, you know, borough cuts and where we're at now and where you think it's going to go in the future. But we have a caller on the line that we're going to take. Hello, thanks for joining the conversation.
Thanks. Yeah, I've got perspective I gained actually from attending the Alaska Municipal League, and it was pretty much at the advent of the fiscal crisis that was essentially created by the state legislature. And I think it's really important that we understand what the cause of the problem here, because to a very large extent we're dealing with the symptoms of a problem, and I think it's going to be very important for people to understand how we got here in the first place. So I'm going to bring up some words here that unfortunately aren't part of the parlance of public discourse, but they're very important to understand, and a few of them may come into play that are actually quite familiar, such as, you know, when you're managing state revenues and 90% of the state revenues are coming from a single source, you have essentially violated one of the most fundamental laws of financial management, and that is you diversify your portfolio of revenue streams in order that you have the capacity to fulfill the terms of the social contract. Now, the social contract is a nice basic term that says the people give up their freedoms with the idea that the government will function in a sustainable manner. And it is clearly the case that the government has not provided for any capacity for managing financial risk.
So, sorry to interrupt, but are you talking about oil prices?
Yes, we're talking about 90% of our state revenues were attached to oil prices, and also in a period of declining production. And why it was, number one, that this ultimately was acceptable without understanding that, like most states, you know, there's state income taxes. So here's something to consider. There are progressive tax policies and there are regressive tax policies. Progressive tax policies put the share of the tax burden on the people who can afford it best. And regressive is the exact opposite. And in this case, that's exactly what the scenario that has been created. We are literally using seniors who have the least amount of capacity for dealing with us and have the least amount of political capital and political leverage that are being targeted here. And it's hard not to feel insulted in a discussion like this, because switching back to the Alaska Municipal League, Kathy Wasserman, the executive director of AML, was beside herself when she realized what the legislature, who created the problem, ultimately basically told all municipalities that, you know what, you guys are on your own. We're cutting back here because that's just the way it is, because we can, and we all agree to do that. And as a consequence, we are ultimately in the throes of cost shifting, where we have a failed economic policy that ultimately shifts the costs to municipalities, and the first people to be targeted are the people that have the least political advantage or leverage. And I would hope that KFSK provides an opportunity for us to have a larger discussion on failed economic fundamentalist thinking about how we run state revenues.
Okay, so if I'm following, we could, if it's the state's to blame and you see the oil prices is not getting higher and we put a lot of our, we bank a lot on those oil prices and the trickle down to local communities is going to be less in the future. I hear your point is saying, you know, don't change things for seniors. Keep the sales tax exemption in place for the seniors. So then what is the answer for local communities like Petersburg, for your community? How should they deal with that state problem?
Well, we need to have a larger discussion about the economic fundamentalism, otherwise known as neoliberalism, which is it is based on the trickle-down supply-side economic theory, which has clearly shown to be an utter failure. So the formula here is to deregulate, and the deregulation of the financial industry is precisely what set the stage in 2008 for our Great Recession.
Okay, well, that sounds like it is another topic for another show. But I get your point for this show, which is you do not support the proposition.
Correct.
Okay, thanks so much for your comment.
Thank you.
Could I respond to one comment?
Sure, Sue Flint.
This is not targeted at low-income seniors. This is targeted at high-income seniors. The low-income seniors we have tried to protect by the rebates and by actually making aware some of the programs that are available to all low-income seniors. This is to get the other 300 or 400 seniors who have excellent tier one retirements and a home in Palm Springs or Arizona or somewhere who pay sales tax there, to get them to pay sales tax here and contribute their fair share because they can afford it. And 600 people, they're not all low income, believe me. This is not targeting low-income seniors, and I want that very clear. Thank you.
Okay. Ted, you're sitting quietly over there. What do you think?
Well, yeah, the conversation seems to be well carried on, but I do have a few questions. One to John Havlick, if he thinks that this proposition or whatever is welfare, then... he must assume that our permanent fund that state of Alaska gives to each and every citizen is also welfare.
Okay.
And does he accept that?
All right.
Another point, okay. We keep talking about what the senior citizen gets for free. Medicare doesn't pay all of their, medical expenses, that's for sure. The city itself is now raising, and I have it here, got it from Jody, is raising, let's see, 2% for the for our water services, 4.5% for our sewer, and 2% for sanitation. That is in a utility bill that everyone pays, no matter whether you're a senior citizen or not. So therefore, the burden is going on a senior citizen that's on a fixed income, because that's going up. And also, the assessment of our property tax went up this year. Not much, but it went up. That's another burden on a senior citizen that is on a fixed income. Now, they want, unless you're absolutely poverty-stricken, they want you to pay a sales tax also. And another question I can ask Jody is, why do we have a senior citizen card? Every person that can go to the DMV and get either a driver's license or an ID card that gives your birth date. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just show them our driver's license, my driver's license, and I know a few people that don't drive that have identification cards. Mm-hmm. But they all have the birth date right on it.
Right, and you can get those after 30 days of being in Petersburg.
Right.
Yeah, and so our resident requirement to getting a senior sales tax card is 1 year, so that wouldn't help us.
So you're trying to keep the senior sales tax exemption for residents and not just seniors?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it used to be for non-residents, too. They could pay, I think it was like $25 and get a card if they came to town. But in 2014, I believe at that election, it went away.
Okay. Jody, I wanted to ask you some questions about, because I think it's kind of in line with the proposition coming up now. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Sue, because you're a sponsor of the proposition. But just about the borough cuts, what we've seen, and this is going along the same lines as the trickle down that we mm-hmm. had heard a caller talk about
sure.
with state oil prices being lower than they used to be.
Yeah.
Certainly the legislature in Juneau has been dealing with that, and then it trickles down to the municipalities. So,
sure.
But specifically for Petersburg, you know, have there been budget cuts in recent years, and then projected for this year, next year? What are you seeing?
Sure. So there have been many budget cuts. It stemmed, you know, probably originally from the state starting to cut our funding a few years ago. They cut our community revenue sharing $200,000. Our state jail funding decreased $150,000 a year. They cut the airport security officer funding of $100,000. So because of those reasons, and, you know, we're not seeing an increase in sales tax at all, we cut a police officer's position. We cut the $85,000 grant to mental health. We've cut out some travel and training. We contract out our IT services now. We've consolidated a department head position to create that public utility director position. That saved about $100,000. Reduced janitorial. We cut community service grants, all of the other ones, 5% this year. We're looking for more energy efficiencies. We've also extended the life of motor pool vehicles by quite a bit, and we have focused on purchasing more in bulk, all the departments getting together and, you know, trying to make those purchases all as one, like paper, for instance, and things like that.
What about the coming year? Do you have any projections? We're only in the fall, so
I don't know
how far ahead you look at that.
It looks like state funding is going to stay the same. You know, we're evaluating all of our borough services all the time that are offered to the public and looking at the hours of operation. Employee expenses make up a huge part of the general fund budget, so taking a look at scheduling and how to make each department more efficient and be able to reduce any overtime as much as possible, things like that. you know, we have to be really careful because some of the easiest non-essential items to cut are what helps make the quality of life in Petersburg so great. And we don't want to see families moving away. And it's expensive to live in this community for everyone, both young families and the elderly. So we're kind of all in this together.
Okay. I was wondering if you had any numbers on, because we've talked about the population changing, and if these projections are right, where it would be almost 30, the town would be almost 30% seniors in about 15 years. There's about 15 years, and it'd be, so the town would be made up of about 30% seniors. You know, do you know what that would look like in terms
of sales tax? I really haven't forecasted that out.
Okay. All right. It's okay. I think we have a caller. We'll take on the caller. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for having the show. I think it's excellent information. Lorianne Wolin here. And I just wanted to call and say that I'm going to be voting yes on Proposition 1 because I really value the great life that we have here in Petersburg. Born and raised, many generations in Alaska. I think so many of us enjoy all the great programs available to us, whether we use them on a daily basis or not. And it makes me proud to say that I benefit from a really superb education provided to me by everyone, not just those with school-age children. When my parents were my age, everybody contributed and to the running of our community. And I think a lot of people are caught up in thinking that this is something that's been forever, and it hasn't been. And so as an adult, I enjoy knowing that my taxes are going to support all the activities for the children's program, including the school and playground and ball fields, the public facilities like the hospital, Mountain Matter. I'm so proud that we can, you know, in my case, born here and live our entire life. We have the library, the museum, the gym and swimming pool, all these quality of life things like the community van and the Meals on Wheels program that I know is really important to everybody. And the well-maintained parks and trails, Jesse, and the Parks and Rec, they do a fabulous job. I'm happy each morning that I get up. Public Works has cleaned our streets, it plowed the snow, and the police and EMS are there 24/7 in case we need them. I go to work, everybody knows I'm the hiring officer, and I go to work knowing that we have quality administrators, and Jody has a fabulous finance department who works to promote the mission of the assembly and our community, and help enterprise funds such as Power and Light and Water and Wastewater, the Baylor facility, and Mountain View Manor and the harbor. And I really appreciate that the authors of this proposition wrote a reimbursement for those people who cannot afford to pay the sales tax. I think, again, to reiterate what Sue said, it kind of offends me that a couple of your callers expect the young people in town to subsidize the higher income seniors. And it, you know, it hurts my feelings. So there's kind of two sides to that story. And I just appreciate what you guys are doing on this forethought. And I think the time has come to put this this one to rest because we just can't afford it with the increasing amount of seniors. So anyway, that's thoughts from one of the younger people in town.
Okay, thank you so much for your call.
Thanks.
She kind of brought up an interesting point in that the exemption hasn't been here forever. What's the history of the senior sales tax exemption? When did it start?
1980. It was passed by just the city council at the time, and I believe you were the mayor then, weren't you, Ted?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ted, you were here when the senior sales tax exemption started. Why did it start in 1980?
It was a thank you to senior citizens that had done so much for the community and out of respect for those senior citizens and future senior citizens that took this community seriously and spent most of their lives trying to help this community get better. They didn't. In those days, of course, transportation wasn't the same either, but they didn't go south for 3 months or 6 months or whatever. They stayed here. Went through the winters. Some of them were tough. Some of them were easy. But when you walked down the street, you knew that person because he'd been here all his life and was still here.
And now people just need to be here for a year to get that sales tax exemption?
Yeah. Yeah. At that time, we didn't have a, we didn't make a, or did we? I can't even remember now.
We didn't.
It's 40 years. 40 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, right. I didn't, I don't think we made a restriction on how long you had to be here, but
what was the town like in 1980, population-wise?
Oh, I guess 1980?
3,001, I believe,
yep,
was the number.
How many?
Mm-hmm. 3,001. And there were 165, Jody? 172 senior exemption cards then.
And I actually have the ordinance from 1980, and just to read the purpose and intent, the intention of this exemption from the Petersburg Consumer Sales Tax in favor of and for the exclusive benefit of the elderly with the intent of alleviating financial hardship and recognizing the valuable contributions which the senior citizens of Petersburg have made and continue to provide.
My, wasn't our language flowery at that time?
Yeah, and that was also a time when Alaska was flush with oil money. It started in the 70s working towards that and all kinds of benefits for seniors.
Well, and that's true. You must not have needed the revenue as much because the following year the city council decided to exempt sales tax from utilities. So those are two big changes.
Yeah. Petersburg really didn't benefit from the oil boom except for state money. But when they would give us a proposition, call us and tell us, hey, we've got all this money. If you want to build something, here it is. You just have to do it to our specs. And I don't include myself, but the wise council people that were there said, no, thank you. The O&M will cost us more than the building itself in the future. So they didn't take that money. That was... Oh, Ed Eggman, Jack Longworth, Vern Counter, probably names a lot of you people don't even remember, but they were thinking of the future, and they were thinking of the expenses that would incur if we accepted all these and went by the state, the state demand that we build it this way, and it has to be this building. So we didn't do it. We refused the money.
Well, we have a caller on the line, and we have a comment from a caller who called in. So we'll start with the caller on the line. Hello, thanks for joining us.
Hello, is it line two?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. I've been hearing, about all of the cuts in various revenues and things like that, but the thing that there's another side to that ledger where when borough formation happened, the borough got a $600,000 one-time grant from the state. In addition to that, on an annual basis, the borough gets increased revenue sharing, increased payment in lieu of taxes, and then on the outlying areas, sales tax, property tax, and bed tax. And I think on an annual basis, that's somewhere in addition to an additional $1 million. Could somebody comment on that, please?
Sure, I can. So, okay. When we formed a borough, we received $600,000. It was to help organize the borough. So we had to, hire the assessor to go and evaluate and assess all the outlying areas. We also, that's where that, I believe, the Agnew Beck, those costs for that comprehensive plan were paid from that amount of money. We still have about, I think about $80,000 left, and we're just holding on to it for future, maybe talks about service areas or something like that. I don't recall getting an increase in payment in lieu of taxes. I would have to look at that. We did get a little bit of an increase in community revenue sharing, and we are collecting 4 mils outside service area one. So, yeah.
So, caller, are you suggesting that the borough doesn't need more revenue or has enough?
Well, I'm suggesting that they're getting on an annual basis of $1 million in the revenue sharing. You know, it's not only property tax at 4 mils, but it's a bed tax and a sales tax from the outlying areas. And that doesn't seem to be discussed or included in the discussions.
So, and just to clarify, we're not getting another $600,000 a year for becoming a borough for the organization. That was a one-time
thing. I understand that, and that's what I stated in the beginning. Mm. But in addition to that, if you look at revenue sharing, payment in lieu of taxes, and all of the taxes on the outlying areas, sales tax, bed tax, and property tax, mm-hmm. I believe that is in the neighborhood of $1 million.
Okay, so if that is the case, how much does it cost to run the borough? It sounds like he thinks, the caller, you think that's quite a bit of money and the borough should...
So the general fund the general fund's budget is about $9.4 million a year.
Okay, $9.4 million a year. Okay, caller, did you have another comment?
No, thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for joining our conversation. We're going to take just a really quick short break here, and we'll be right back on the air.
Commercial.
Okay, thanks for staying with us there. Again, if you're just joining us, we are having a call-in show right now about the senior sales tax exemption question that's going to be on the ballot for the municipal election next month on October 2nd. It's asking voters whether or not the senior sales tax exemption should change to a rebate program for low-income seniors and do away with the senior sales tax exemption as it is now, which is for all seniors who qualify, who get a card from the borough, and the requirement there is to be a resident for a year. We have a caller who has a question specifically for one of our guests here, Ted Smith, and the question asks, why shouldn't younger citizens who are facing the high cost of living while raising children get a sales tax exemption when seniors already get so many exemptions like property tax exemptions? Do you want to take that?
I can. I don't know if we could actually do away with sales tax. I've been an advocate of not taxing groceries or fuel or gasoline because they're essential. And they are essential to raising children and that was my recommendation and while I was on the council, in fact, I was a mayor, and I asked that question and pretty much got laughed right out of the council chambers.
That
was kind of facetious, but...
well, if there wasn't a sales tax, how much sales tax does the borough get in general, Jody?
About $2.8
million. Is that a year?
Yes.
Okay, $2.8 million a year. And that's used for different borough services.
Yeah.
What if you would consider the borough getting rid of sales tax altogether, how would that $2.8 million, how would you get that?
That would be the big question. I have no answer for that. But if they feel that the sales tax is unfair, become a council person or assembly person now, I guess, and make your voice known.
So kind of responding to the caller who's asking why can't younger people get an exemption, you would say, well, maybe consider a sales tax exemption for everyone and then come up with a different solution for making revenue for the borough. Right.
Or make essential things tax exempt. I mean,
like
that would help.
And fuel.
I remember when I had two young children, it was tough. But, yeah.
That was on, that's been on the ballot a couple times, I think, here.
I believe it has.
And failed. And, you know, an earlier caller talked about it. It is a regressive tax. And, you know, a state income tax would be more fair. And then this thing about online sales are going to have sales tax on them. That's going to complicate things in the future. And I guess if we did away with sales tax for everyone, it would be like Anchorage, where your property tax is sky high for everyone. So
yeah, that's true.
It's all tough choices, and it's all change, and change is always hard.
Yeah, I remember way back when I was on the council. When I first got on the council, my first big discussion at the council was the building of the elementary school. And there was a group of, a large group of citizens that wanted a swimming pool attached to that. So the council said, well, okay, but to make that bond payment, we're going to have to raise sales tax 2 cents. It was 3 cents then, and it would have to go to five. But they put a caveat in there that said once the school bond is paid off, we will decrease the sales tax back to 3%. Of course, that didn't happen. There was one councilman that said it wouldn't happen because he said you can't obligate a future council, which is very true. And he was right because it didn't happen. In fact, it went up another cent. But and there was another one, service charges. When we put the water and sewer in, we went to a bond issue, and one of the questions was, well, should we put in meters? And if we put in meters, we'll have to have a service charge until that bond issue is paid. And then we will at least decrease, if not eliminate, the service charge. Well, that didn't happen either, because you can't obligate a future council.
So you think if changes do happen, they don't just change back?
Right.
In
they
this
don't
case,
ever seem to go back to the...
So you think if the senior sales tax exemption went away, it'd probably stay that way? That's what you're saying.
Well, it could, but probably not, because you can't obligate a future council to do what you did or mm-hmm. I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Petersburg Borough has a rule that all taxes have to be voted on by the population.
And exemptions.
Exemptions. Mm-hmm. And... the other towns don't have to do that. Sitka, when they enacted this change, just their assembly did it.
Yes.
And that's pretty much standard everywhere except here.
And what's kind of interesting about that is that change to the charter about all voters having to vote on the exemptions and not just the city council was done in 1981, a year after the senior tax exemption was voted by the city council to go into effect.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't on the council at that time. But I think I got off for some reason. But I know who did that, and I understand why he did it. But that's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you did mention, Sitka has gone this route, and this is kind of where Petersburg saw that and said, hey, maybe this is a solution. But they do have a rebate program for seniors, and they did away with the senior sales tax exemption in Sitka.
Mm-hmm.
So... we've been talking for a little over an hour now about what's on the ballot, the proposition one question that's on the ballot for Petersburg voters. I wanted to ask you now if you had some closing comments, if there's anything you wanted to add that we haven't touched on yet.
I have one comment. First of all, just I wanted to say thank you to KFSK for doing this program. I think information is so important to get out there. And there will be an information sheet that our group of seniors who put this together gathered up, and it's going to be in the pilot on Thursday. And I hope that everybody will read it and think, give it some thought, and hopefully vote yes on October 2nd for Proposition 1. Thanks.
Well, as you know, I'm the other way, but yeah, information is great, and I appreciate all the call-ins. And the two ladies that have been here, I appreciate their comments. But I still say read the article and vote no on Proposition 1.
And Jody?
I think I've done enough talking, right? But if anyone has any questions about finances or the borough's finances or anything at all, just email me or call me at the borough. I'm there every day. So
you're the numbers person. Yeah. You don't even look at your notes half the time. It's just calculated in your head and your memory bank there.
She is great. Yeah. She even puts up with me. I can visualize her just cringing when they say Ted Smith's on the line.
That's not true.
I want to thank you all so very much for joining us for this show. And I want to let the listening audience know that the election will be October 2nd, which is a Tuesday. Polls will be open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the community center. Absentee voting is happening now through the borough clerk's office. And this show, we have recorded it and we will be rebroadcasting it. So if you just missed, you know, part of the show, or, you know people who want to hear it, we're going to rebroadcast it Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. and then again on Monday the 24th at 12:30 p.m. We will also be posting it on our website.